Welcome to Under the Microscope, KBIA's weekly look at stories in science, health, and technology. I'm Christopher Husted. Coming up, we'll take a look at how the drought is affecting winter wheat.
The pastures are looking as poor as I can ever remember them looking for the first part of May.
But first, U.S. Secretary of Agriculture Tom Vilsack recently announced $3.9 million in funding toward developing a vaccine for a disease crushing hog farms. The money is meant to combat porcine epidemic diarrhea virus, or PEDV. The virus doesn't pose a threat to humans, but it does cause high mortality in piglets. Speaking in Des Moines, Iowa, Vilsack says there's still a lot to learn about PEDV.
I can't confidently stand up here and tell you that we know precisely where this came from. I will tell you that we are taking a look at how we might be able to more effectively track animal-human activity, feed a number of other items that could potentially be the origin and the reason.
Additional USDA funding will go toward biosecurity, research, management, and diagnostic testing for the virus. Now, the federal government has given conditional approval to the first vaccine licensed to fight the deadly virus. The USDA gave conditional approval last week to a vaccine produced by Iowa-based Harris Vaccines. The vaccine is being used mostly to boost immunity in sows that have had the disease so they can better pass on antibodies to their young. Company spokesperson Joel Harris said that one challenge is immunity to PEDV doesn't seem to last like it does with many other viruses. He says it might last only a few months. Other companies have also been working on vaccines. According to data from the Occupational Safety and Health Administration, agricultural workers in the U.S. are 3.6 times more likely to die by suicide than the general population. Wendy Riggenberg recently compiled a study on farm death at the University of Iowa. She says the prevalence of suicide has likely been underestimated. Previously, some studies estimated that farm workers are twice as likely to take their own lives.
It was surprising, but at the same time, I think it really brings home the point of, yeah, there is an issue here, and we need to be looking into this much more in depth, and we need to be looking and planning and funding for interventions.
According to the OSHA data, there are also regional differences regarding farm violence. In the Midwest, farmers are more likely to die by suicide. In the South, farmers are less likely to die by suicide, but more likely to commit homicide. Much of the Plains wheat belt has been battling drought, and this year's winter wheat crop looks like it will be one of the worst in recent memory. As Ariana Brocious reports for Harvest Public Media, that has farmers stressed across the Midwest.
You're going to have that in the rain to make things grow.
Hopefully tonight, maybe, huh?
I hope.
Rogan Einspire talks with a customer and farmer at the Juanita Roller Mills in southwest Nebraska. Weather, especially rain, is a common topic of conversation lately in a region that has experienced another dry winter.
We got to catch a couple rains or else it's going to be pretty bad. It needs a drink.
Einspire's grain mill sources hard red winter wheat from southwest Nebraska and northeast Colorado and makes it into flour. He says some farmers are expecting such a small harvest this year, they're holding on to wheat from last year. Farming drives the economy in Nebraska, so that could mean some tough times.
So if last year's wheat runs out, then I'm kind of, you know, up a creek. It gets tight, but usually you just send a truck wherever you can to get a load. Hopefully it's the stuff you can use.
A full quarter of the winter wheat crop is rated poor to very poor in Nebraska, and farmers here are doing comparatively well. More than 40% of the wheat acres in Colorado are poor or worse, nearly 60% in Kansas and Texas, and an incredible 80% in Oklahoma. Aaron Harries is marketing director for the Kansas Wheat Commission.
We're expecting a harvest of around 260 million bushels, two-thirds of what an average crop might be, and if that 260 million bushels is the actual harvested number, that'll be the lowest we've had since 1996.
Persistent drought, harsh winds, and below-normal winter temperatures, combined with already low subsoil moisture levels, have decimated the winter wheat crop in Kansas, Oklahoma, and Texas. These states make up the heart of the wheat belt. Even with drought-affected low yields last year, they still produced one-third of the national winter wheat crop.
I'd imagine there's hundreds of thousands of acres in Texas and Oklahoma that won't even be harvested.
That may mean lower exports from those states. Wheat prices surged in early May based on reports of drought-stressed fields, but they have fallen some recently, partly due to production in countries like Canada and Russia.
Wheat is a global commodity, so there are a lot of different factors, a lot of different countries that play into the price of wheat.
In southwest Nebraska, farmer Jim Harburg of Imperial is still holding out hope for a good yield. Walking through a circle corner of wheat he says is 6 inches shorter than normal, he points to shorter, darker patches.
This little area here where it's, you know, thinned out, that's what you see the drought stress. You'll see patches in the field just like this. It's thinned out. And then you can see the taller wheats here. They're the more vibrant. They got more moisture.
Harburg pulls out two different stalks to compare the heads of wheat.
Definitely has stunted the plant. This plant here will probably make 50% of what this one will make here.
But Harburg says unlike states further south, where harvests have already started, Nebraska wheat farmers may benefit from late rains.
Wheat's kind of a funny crop, you know. A little bit of rain at heading time can make a halfway decent crop. So the rain is crucial at certain times on winter wheat.
A little further southeast outside McCook, Nebraska, farmer and rancher Randy Peters guesses his driest fields will average only 15 bushels per acre, far below his usual yield of 70 bushels.
This year we just haven't had hardly any rain. The pastures are looking as poor as I can ever remember them looking for the first part of May.
But today, there's rain in the forecast. Thunder rumbles as we hop into the carriage of his ATV to visit a wheat field, and soon the skies open, forcing us to take shelter in his seed warehouse.
How surprising, we have to take refuge from the rain, right?
Yeah, this is pretty cool. I wish we could have been doing this a month ago.
Even with this rain, Peters estimates this year's low wheat yield will probably mean a loss of $500,000. Will years of battling drought push Wheat Belt farmers to try planting a different crop? Probably not, says Peters.
If you can't raise wheat, you can't raise anything in this country.
In arid farming regions like the Great Plains, dryland wheat remains one of the most hardy, adaptable, and reliable crops available, even if it hasn't always panned out for farmers during the last few years. For Harvest Public Media, I'm Ariana Brocious.
That's it for this week's Under the Microscope. Don't forget, you can find these stories on KBIA.org. I'm Christopher Husted. Thanks for listening.